Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right on the Edge on One Radio. Join us as we feature GLBT, erotica, and BDSM characters, issues, and authors. We don't have to tie them up or flog them to ask them questions that make them squirm or makes them hot, though we're open to doing that anyway. We record new shows every Thursday at 10 p.m. Central. This show is intended for an adult audience since we do encourage saucier conversations, riskier subjects, and here is where taboo is on the to-do list. Get taken right on the edge.
Well, it's Thursday night and it is that time, so here we are with Right on the Edge. I'm your host, W.T. Prater, and with me as my co-host, I have the wonderful, incomparable Miss Amanda C. Stone. Hello, Amanda.
Hey, y'all.
And as our featured authors this week, we have Allison Quesada. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
And Mr. Cade Boehm. How are you, Cade?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Doing great. We're so honored that you guys are here tonight to feature your work that you co-authored called We Found Love. And I'd like to give each of you just a minute to introduce yourself to anybody out there who might not have heard of you before. Allison, why don't we start with you?
I've been writing since 2004. I'm a Southern girl, obviously. You can tell from the accent. Married to a heavy metalhead. I don't know what else to say about myself except for I'm a big geek.
Yay, geeks. We love our geeks. And what about you, Kate? Tell everybody a little bit about you.
Oh, gosh. I'm Cade Boehm. I've been doing this professionally for 2 years now. I can't believe that. I do it full time. Lucky. I don't know what else to say.
He's adorkable.
He's adorkable, yes. Yeah, I don't even mind admitting, Katie, I have a serious man crush on you. And, yeah. If you've ever met Cade, he's so cute, he's so quiet, and then you get him talking, and he doesn't shut up. And that's kind of awesome.
He's really nice about it, though. I have to
yes,
say
he is.
That. So.
Yeah,
I try. But, you know, you get me wound up. I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. So, whatever.
Oh, he can't even... Look, he can't even say anything about freaking somebody talking too much. I was stuck in the car. How long were we in the car on the way to the next place? 24 hours. And between sleeping and singing Pink songs, all we got
was
talk.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man.
We drove all the way to Albuquerque together. That was one of the best road trips of my life. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
To Albuquerque from Memphis?
Yeah, do you remember?
He's in Nashville.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, that's better.
I remember at one point we actually tried to get each other shut up by watching Shelter on her iPad.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was...
That's okay. Look, me and Cade are going to Tampa together. So I've got my iPad with Shelter and Latter Days loaded up, and it runs through the car stereo just like, you know. So.
Very nice.
It's going to be a good time.
So, Cade, I want to ask you a question. And I want Allison to answer this as well afterwards, but Cade, why did you decide when you were going to write this idea, We Found Love, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys decided that you were going to co-author together?
Actually, we met officially the first time at RainbowCon last year. And of course, I can only remember like a third of it because I was entirely intoxicated.
But, I was drunk too, so. I think Lori would probably tell the story better, actually.
Right? I mean, like, Allison and them had to help me get in my room, so that tells you, like, how that
okay,
had,
so
like,
my question on that is, Allison, were you just a little bit tempted to do naughty things to him? Because I've met him, and I know him a little bit, and yeah.
Yeah, see, I was visualizing naughty things the first time I actually saw him. I was like, oh, he belongs in the book. I don't know who he is, but he belongs in the book.
I'm sure, like, never mind. I'm sitting over here blushing. Anyway, so
he actually ended up making me blush. So I guess we're even there.
Good you, because I didn't know that Allison had the right, like, anything to blush.
Like, I opened my mouth and I blush. What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. You are Julia Sugarbaker. Do not even lie about that.
Whatever.
Do not get Allison pissed off. I'm just saying.
No,
it's bad for everybody and possibly for planet Earth.
I'm a delicate flower. Leave me alone.
I'm a delicate flower, my ass.
Shut up. You're sitting on my side. Same team.
Hi.
Okay, so getting back to how this story was born, go ahead. Allison, take over, because apparently ADD has already kicked in.
the Caden, what did they call it? Cade Sada? Is that what we're calling it? Cade Sada? That didn't even start
Long
with
Cade
We Found
Sada.
Love. Long live Cade Sada. That didn't even happen with We Found Love. That happened with the first book we wrote together. We were drunk as hell at the freaking bar at the hotel, and I think he's the one that said we need to write a book together. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, let's do this. So we ended up outside brainstorming, and that's where Teaching Professor Grayson was born. So,
like, done. I mean, like, and then we got home. And I think that we kind of both thought that we were, like, tooling around, you know, because I was like, oh, I wanted to write an Asian character because I love Asian guys. you know, but we also wanted to write one with a character who had because we're both from the South, the Deep South. So we wanted to write a character who, like, embodied kind of the spirituality of the area that we grew up in. And so... I'm sure that we both kind of thought each other was tooling around, and then we kind of sat down and brainstormed an idea. And seriously, within 2 weeks, we had like 75,000 words just done.
It took us no time. And We Found Love came just as fast, if not faster.
Right. Because seriously, within those 4 weeks, we wrote like 100-something thousand words together. Like, it was insane. And because We Found Love, Allison just had this idea of, the dates that they go on, like where they, like the story kind of started with them being in this place where they would get together and like kind of go in their own world. And
it was supposed to be, have you ever seen Real Big Fish, the Tim Burton movie where the guy's telling all these stories and they're really super exaggerated? Okay, that was the feel that I wanted for the dates. It was supposed to be a Real Big Fish type of situation where everything was huge and extraordinary and magical, and I think we pulled it off. So, I mean, I don't know.
And it completely took on a life of its own. Like, we started writing, and, like, it turned into, like, the asylum, and then it was, like, I kept saying, Allison, I'm sorry, will you just trust me if I go in this direction? She's like, okay. There go killing characters. I can't help myself.
But isn't that the best kind of co-write, where you can trust somebody enough to have your word that you've got to go, hey, you have the freedom to be able to do that.
Right.
Oh, God.
Well,
I mean, we clicked. Like,
we did. And we had so much fun doing it, though.
But, I mean, like, it was a party. Like, 2 weeks of just, like, I would pull up and because we did it like with the Google Drive, you know, so we're writing like real time together. We're like messaging each other on the side. Like, I'm sitting there with my beers and we're like cracking up, you know. Like,
oh my God. And it's Britney Spears. Holy crap. I still hate you for that song. I'm just saying.
Well, I will admit that Cade is one of the few men I've ever met in my entire life who has the courage to actually mention his love of Britney Spears in his public author bio. Like, that's how he announces himself, that he is in love with Britney Spears.
It says it right there. And I'm shameless. I've been to all, like, every tour. I've got, like, every, like, DVD, CD. Like, I'm obsessed. It was actually my first CD. Her first album was my first CD ever, because I was 12 when it came out. So that's, like, I guess it just stuck. And every one of my books, actually, every single book I've ever written, you can find, there's one reference to Britney Spears in every book.
So now, thanks to that, his Britney Spears song is right next here on my iPod.
Oh, nice.
You're welcome.
So what do you have in store then for future works together, since it's obviously working so well?
Well, we've got like a couple of things that have just, especially there's one in particular that we're kind of like toiling away with. It's mostly been like I had a big move, so we hadn't like haven't had a chance to like sit down. I mean, like, but we've got
too,
yeah, we both had like crazy stuff going on. Plus with the the lead time with Dream Spinner is like 5 months, and in that time I've put out two books aside. Like, so it's like, oh my god. So but we do have the one like that we're trying to, as soon as I can sit down and stop being manic.
So I'm going to get a little personal here, and Allison, I hope you don't mind me saying that you can punch me repeatedly later, because I'm sure you can totally do that.
I can drive to Nashville in 4 hours, sweetheart.
Yes, I know. And I get invites from your husband all the time when his group performs in Nashville and around us. So, yeah, I know. Anyways, there is a nasty, nasty, mean rumor that I've heard that you are no longer writing. Would you address that for us for just a minute?
Shut up, Cade.
I get the email all the time.
I haven't had time. Can we say that? Can we just leave it at that? I haven't had time.
Okay, so you're
quitting
writing. You're just taking a temporary break.
Okay, we can go with that.
Well, she has worked on her young adult titles. She's not been completely like done, but she needed a moment.
Okay.
We all have moments, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's a really rocky situation right now, because I've gotten at least four or five different friends on who have all stated within the last 2-3 months that they're pretty much done with writing because of whatever reason. And,
yeah, I've seen a lot of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it becomes a situation where I understand being frustrated and not feeling like you're getting everything that you should be getting as an author as far as attention goes. But if you give up, then you'll never get that. At least that's my personal feeling on it.
It's not so much that. It's more that I can't force the words, and when they're not coming, they're not coming. And I've had so much going on. Like my evil day job has had me so freaking stressed out that I was like, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was headed toward a mental breakdown. So, you know, when all that stress is going on, and I get home from work, like I sit at work, I sit in front of a computer for 8 hours a day. I get home, and the last thing I want to do is look at a computer screen. So I've been working out like a fiend. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I bought a treadmill. It's out in the garage, and I'm on that thing almost every hour I'm awake. So it's retarded. But anyway, I get home from work, and I'm so stressed out from work, and I'm like, I don't even want to deal with this. I don't want to look. My husband's computer is hosed, and I need to fix it, and I haven't touched it. I cleaned up my desk. That's about as close to my computer as I got. Other than that, I'm like, I just want to watch TV. I just want to watch a movie and eat pizza and, you know, drink a little bit of rum maybe. I don't know. So.
Well, I will just say this on behalf of some of your more rabid fans, which I'm a part of, because I love you and I love your writing. And I think that if you completely stop writing, I understand needing to take a sabbatical, but if you completely stop writing, the world misses out on a lot. So I just want to say that. And, you know, with that, I'll segue back into talking about We Found Love. But I just want to say to both of you, if indeed this does happen to be the legacy that you leave to the world, you could not have picked a more beautiful, lovely story to end your legacy with. But I really, truly, 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 in my heart of hearts, hope that this is not all we hear from you. So with that, why don't both of you tell us a little bit about We Found Love. Tell us how you guys came into the story, and I'm going to let Amanda ask some questions too. Because I've kind of dominated and didn't mean to.
No, because you're pretty much saying everything that I'd say. If I was running this show, it would mostly be me like, hey, I love your work, yay! So, yeah, ditto.
Well, I appreciate, like, honestly, like, that you guys, like, appreciated that story, because it was really, really, like, I think it was personal at some point, and it was, like, it was a tough write. Like, I mean, like, because I wouldn't say it's angsty, but I do say it's really heavy. So that people are.
It pulls you through the range of a. Oh, go ahead, Tori.
Oh, no, I just think that the people are, like, that it's touched people, like, that was the best outcome. Like, even if, like, 20 people had bought it, that all 20 of them were touched by it, that's been amazing to see. And it's humbling.
Well, let me put it this way. If this tells you anything about how much I love this one, even though I've only read a little bit of it. I've only read the first 40 pages of it because that's all I could get into today. But later tonight, I will be devouring the rest of it. But it is such a great story that when it comes out in print, and it better freaking come out in print, I will buy a copy even though I've already read it, just because I think it's that great that people need to share the love of this story. It's that good. So.
Well, thank you.
Oh. I
mean,
yeah, I think you left us both kind of speechless there.
I know. I'm like over here, like, kicking my foot, like, stop it. But it was, well, I mean, because it deals with such, like, I mean, I don't know, like, who can't in some way understand being held back by your past? And, I mean, like, good God, we don't have it quite as rough as them. But, I mean, I did see a couple of reviewers where they messaged me their reviews to say, like, I've been here with family members. I've seen them go through this. So it's really nice to be on the other side of it. And I totally didn't even expect that reaction. I'm shocked that people love a story that we started in a mental institution.
We're going to write a romance in a mental hospital. Go!
Right, like, and the fact that it's gotten, like, such a positive response when we started it, and such, I mean, like, well, I mean, we even, like, made you guys sit through therapy sessions, and, like, rather than being like, oh my God, I'm so bored, people are like, I love this, and I'm like, stop it. So I'm gonna stop rambling.
Well, for anybody who's out there who has not read We Found Love, or doesn't know a lot about it, Allison, why don't you give us a really brief synopsis of the book?
Well, so you basically have the two severely wounded characters. The one that I wrote was Riley. He was the one that was kidnapped as a child, and basically what happens to him is he's kidnapped as a very small child, held and pretty much beat by these people who just wanted a kid of their own, and they're really crazy, screwed-up-in-the-head people. But when the cops finally save him, parents don't want him either. They're like, hey, we can't deal with him. He's screwed way beyond what we can handle, so we're hands off, and he ends up in facilities. And he jumps from facility to facility all of his life, and he's basically on a path to self-destruction, and he doesn't care because he has no reason to care. And the same thing goes for Hunter. You know, he had the love of his life overdose, and he's stressed out from school, so now he's got to deal with it the best way he knows how, and he's doing drugs and all this, and he's got the wacko sister who thinks he's trying to off himself. And that was beautifully put together the way Kate did it, because it made you go, wow, I really feel bad for this guy. And I understand if he did try to off himself, I get it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then now you've got to take these two volatile personalities and you stuff them in a little room where they're used to being away from people. You stuff them in this room and you got to make them play nice with each other. And they're not cool with that. One wants to hang out in the corner. The other one wants to just yell at everybody and just go off and be pissed off at the world. And, again, we get both sides of the situation. But the main point of the story is, you know, yeah, they fall in love and they become friends and they become crutches for each other, but they learn to deal with their issues away from each other as well. They grow as individuals and as lovers. You know what I'm saying? So we're taking through that, and I'm not going to give any more of it away, but that's what you've got there.
Well, the thing that I love about this particular story is that even though it is sent in a mental facility and these two guys do have their individual dramas, I don't think of We Found Love as angst. It's not something where I sit there and, like, cringe and like, want to punch both of these guys in the side of the head repeatedly because they're both, yes, they may be wounded, but they're not victims, warriors. They're people who have been through stuff, and yes, they still have their issues to get through, but it's not, the whole book isn't, oh, woe is me, I'm so bad, yeah. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And that's what
right,
turns me off to a lot of, go ahead.
And, well, no, what you're saying is it was extremely important to us to keep it that way. We didn't want to make that angsty, horrible book where they're just pushing against each other all the time. They're not. They're pushing towards each other. It's everybody else that's telling them they need to pull back and reel it in and be strong to themselves and be what they need for themselves before they can be what they need to be for each other.
Well, because I think that we also didn't want them to be victims. I mean, like,
no.
They're a victim of circumstance, but I don't think that either one of them ever said, like, Riley had moments of hopelessness, because, I mean, my God, everything he's been handed since he was 6 years old. But, I mean, like, both of them refused to just go down like that. They were not victims. So I think, like, and I think that we really, 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 like, pushed to make sure that they were at least more will balance people for the fact that they're in the mental institution. Hi.
So, okay, I'm going to completely different track. You haven't touched a menage couple yet. Is that something that you would try? Is that not somewhere you want to go? How would you handle that?
Alone, I wrote a menage. And I don't know what the correct MSMM blah, 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 but it was two dudes that do each other and do the chick. So, you know, whatever.
An MMF.
Yeah, whatever it is. They were together, they saw her, and they were like, oh, she's cute, she'll be fun, and they pulled her in, and everything worked out, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I haven't done a strictly MMM menage, and I think I'd be willing to try that, you know, actually.
I have moments of, like, maybe, but I don't even really read menages, so I don't know that it's so hard to me, like, to make two people work together, so I don't know, like, and plus, like, trying to, because it always seems like the logistics of it would be so complicated. I mean, how, like, can you imagine the sex scene, all the pronouns?
like
wait
a minute, whose
balls are doing what?
Whose arm is that? Where's it going?
What is it they call it, the autonomous body part?
Oh, God, that is so frustrating. Sometimes hands do what they want to do, and you can't control it, okay?
Right? Especially when there's three of you with six hands.
Our autonomous body parts get us in more trouble than we want to talk about.
Well, plus, not to say, like, and I'm totally not discounting these, because I do believe that there are polyamorous couples. I know that thruples is a big thing. So I don't discount it whatsoever. It's just that I'm so, like, I try very hard. I mean, because it is romance, so, I mean, like, you do have to, like, kind of suspend disbelief for, like, the fact that these maybe 22-year-olds are going to live happily ever after. But I do like for there to be some level of realism when I write something. And I don't know that I could pull off three people feeling like that, you know, because it's a very talented author. Like, you know what Sloane Parker did? I loved more. Because I felt like that it was one of those couples where, which is the issue with writing a menage, you have to make it where the relationship would not exist if one of them went away. Like, they only work as a unit. And I think that that's, I at least accept my limitations, because I don't think that I could realistically portray a thruple.
I have to agree. There are times that I've read a menage and it really just shouldn't have been, and I just kind of have to, like, put the book aside and walk away and be like, okay, let's try something else. Because,
right,
like you said, like, if it doesn't make sense for them to be together as three or four, however many. I mean, sure, there's the smut factor of it, you know. Yay, a whole bunch of people playing
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. How many ways can we spit roast this motherfucker, you know?
Yes. So.
But, well, I think because it's really hard when you're reading, like, which is why I don't read many, because it seems like I've picked up a few where there's always the one character that I feel is kind of left out. Which is why I always point to Sloane Parker's more, because I felt like they had, like, the conversation in the book where, like, they were like, as we're getting used to this, as we're getting used to the three of us, there's no sex individually until we're comfortable with that stage. You know, like, there was a building up of the trust. It was like, you can make out with each other, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, these other, like, sometimes it's the one couple who's already been together and they pull in a third, and the two younger will, like, make the older feel out of place. Or so, you know, like, there's... And then you feel bad. Like, oh, my God, I read one time where the two guys had been together and one of the guys was bi and they brought a girl in. And so, you know, like, it was, like, cool, whatever. And, it was kind of always the sense that the other guy only invited, like, because, I mean, he wasn't really into women. So, obviously, the only reason he invited her in was to please his partner. Well, the woman and the partner end up leaving, like, I mean, he ends up, like, left in the end of the book. Like, the... And I was mortified. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I think Lee Brazil did a good job with the menage. And it was one of the Truth or Dare books. I can't remember which one. And I'm not really into the twin set thing, but there was a twin pair with in the threesome. And Lee Brazil did a really good job of bringing all those three characters in and making the relationship work like that, where everybody was equal. And the relationship didn't work without both twins, and it didn't work without the other guy either. So...
I'm running on it. Like, yes, no. So obviously, no, I probably, like, I never say never, because I've said, you know, I wouldn't write this. Like, I can honestly say I would probably never write a gay for you, because it's too hard for me to, like, absolutely, like, because every time that I start with the concept, I end up over-explaining, and, like, you get the idea that the guy probably had feelings for men. So that's not gay for you, that's just a late bloomer. Menage, it's one of those things that I won't say I would never write, but as of right now, I can't see myself doing one.
I was actually working on one that, it was a free read on a blog. It was called The Chronicles of Three. I started it, and again, with the muse going haywire and the move and all that stuff, I kind of dropped the ball on it. But every week you were getting the view of a different character, and it was three guys. There was the nerdy guy, the rocker guy, and then the young kid. And they were all kind of vying for each other's love in, like, a circular pattern. One loved the other one, the other. And ultimately they were supposed to all get together, but again, I dropped the ball on it. So I can't say that I would absolutely not do it, but I don't, I'm with Kate. But logistically, I think it would be kind of difficult.
Like, whose balls are
like,
on what? Like,
he and him did who and what and how?
I'm sorry, that's just too many fluttering holes, and I just don't know what I do.
Okay, so I have a question when it comes to sex with you two. Allison, I don't know if you identify as bisexual or straight. Cade, I think you're gay. I'm not sure. I'm not going to assume anything. So, when
I'm strictly Dixie, baby.
Okay. Very nice. So am
me
I.
Too.
We have
I'm
that
sorry.
In common.
That's the truth. I'm not
saying. So here's my question. When you guys are co-writing something, has there ever been a moment, Cade, where Allison might have written something where you went, that's not exactly how it works? Or has there ever been a moment where, Allison, maybe you've gone to Cade and said, hey, I'm just curious. Like,
oh my
how
God.
Does that work?
The first time we went to write sex, I don't even know if Cade knows this. The first time we went to go write a sex scene, I went to type and I'm like, oh shit. You know, I'm actually writing this with a real life gay dude, and I could have this shit all along. I may have this delusion of grandeur that I actually know what I'm talking about. Oh shit, here we go.
I'm writing with a real gay.
I know. I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I'm going to start this very, very carefully, and I'm sure he'll bust my ass if I'm doing it wrong. And I don't think you ever did have to say that, did you?
No, I don't think so. Like, because if there was ever a point where you were like, I don't know, you were just like, you know what, Katie, just write this thing. Wait, <okay. laughs>
I was scared. I'm not going to lie to you. I was scared shitless. I was like, oh, my God, this ain't like writing with, you know, because I write with Remy, and I'm like, okay, this ain't writing with another chick. This isn't writing with Tracy. This isn't writing with Remy. This is writing with Cade. And, I mean, like, Cade's got a following. Cade's got a fan base. Oh, shit, what did I sign up for? Kate, do we really have to do a sex thing? I think, I don't know, I guess that's why we're teaching Professor Grayson, besides the content of the book and the nature of their relationship and who they were, when it got time to write the sex scene between those two, I was like, oh, my God. But it worked out great because Professor Grayson, Christian, was like that anyway. He was freaked out about sex. He'd never done it. So my fear of writing sex with Cade came through in the character, and it worked superbly, I think, for the scene.
Very nice.
I had people asking, like, how, like, they're like, is it really believable that he's 40 and he's never had sex? I was like, honey, you've clearly never met a Baptist. Like, they can scare the shit out of you. And I think that's, well, because both of the books didn't rely on sex. Like, I would say that they were much more geared toward romance or towards, I mean, teaching Professor Grayson may have at times been a bit didactic. I think that it could have come across. But, I mean, like, honestly, I felt like we were trying to focus on the characters. And, like, that's what I love about writing romance, is that I feel like it's a character study. You're working, like, sometimes they're not so much plot heavy as much as they are just character centric. And I, like, it's kind of cool just to see, like...
But that's kind of the direction that I feel that MM publishers need to move in. Like, I talked with MJ last week about the slow burn romance. And, you know, if I want something to masturbate to, I'm going to pick up, like, a short story anthology that's all erotic stories.
Well, honey, there's the Nifty Archives. I'm just...
If I'm reading like a novel, I want something that is going to make me engrossed in the characters and fall in love with the characters, so that when they actually have sex, it's not just having sex generally, there's something more,
to
there's
move
a
the
reason
relationship
for it. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, because I say all the time that I'm envious of those authors who can, like, seriously, there are some who, like, that they can, like, the character's pissed off and they can make the dude have sex. And I'm just like, and I don't think that's a bad thing, because some authors really pull that off. I can't just write a sex scene for the hell of it. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I probably have thrown in, like, the morning sex when it wasn't, like, completely necessary. But it was,
but
like,
morning,
well,
sex is truthful.
Yeah.
Morning,
like,
sex is truthful.
Like, I just, it's hard to put a sex scene that's not, like, moving the relationship forward or like, that's showing in some way what, facet of their relationship.
If you put a book off as smut, then, yeah, you're expected to have, but if you're putting a book off as romance, this is a story about two people falling in love, then the sex just, it'll fall in naturally. Like, when I wrote Sin and Seduction, I set out to write a smutty book. So there's sex and blowjobs and all kinds of nasty shit all throughout the book, but that's what it was meant to be.
But see, that's the whole thing, is that there are a lot of authors out there who don't get that just because it's MM, just because, like, they automatically assume that romance equals sex. And there's so much more to romance that you've got to go through and deal with, and the kissing and just the eye glances and the buildup, and you've got to have all that. And if you're trying to rush and put in sex, you're no longer writing a romance. You're writing smut. You're writing erotica. You're writing something you want people to masturbate to.
Keep in mind, we are in the era where Fifty Shades of Grey is considered romance.
That's ridiculous.
I can't.
I'm just saying, keep that in mind. You know, this is why romance authors are getting put off by it. Like, I can write young adult books because I don't write sex between kids. And I like not having to having to put sex in books all the damn time, because I'm serious. Like, how many different ways can you talk about a blowjob? How many different ways can you talk about getting pinned in the ass? I mean, seriously. You know, it gets to the point where you're like, okay, I've written 20 books. I don't want to write the same sex scene 20 freaking times. I mean.
Sorry. Well, I think, too, though, like, as a friend of mine and I were discussing the phenomenon that is 50 Shades. And I asked, I was like, I don't understand, because there are so many, like, and I obviously point to MM because it's kind of the only thing I've read for the last at least 5 years.
I am sorry. I'm going to have to correct you. It is not a phenomenon. It is a phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
But, I'm hearing the Muppets song right now.
Well, but it's
Phenomena.
I started something. I love this.
Well, that was fine.
I'm sorry, Cade. You were saying. Go ahead, babe.
Oh, God. I don't remember. Oh, but she was saying that because it's the mommy porn thing, it's a novel. Whereas we're still just cheap ass romance to people, you know? Like, I don't understand. Like, because I've, like, read romance. Like, hell, my God, I can point to any number of, like, Josh Lanyon's work. Why is that not, like, a television show? Why is that not, like, at least a movie? Like, because sometimes it's not, like, he's very big on doing, like, a big plot with, you know, the romance is kind of in the background, but an integral part. But, I mean, but isn't that true for most, like, seems like every, like, big crime fighter has, like, their love interest in the book. So I don't, like, but, of course, it's acceptable because it's a novel, 50 Shades anyway. It's a novel. We're just those e-books that people sell that have lube, cock,
so,
balls, fluttering holes.
I just have to throw this out here. This is the state of the nation that we live in. 50 Shades of Grey is being released February 13th, one day before Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Right? I think
that
what's so appalling is, like,
yeah.
I know, like,
go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think the most appalling thing to me about the book is that I, who know, like, next to nothing about actual BDSM and the lifestyle, can honestly look at it and think, like, why did, like, it does not sound kinky. Like, none of it, like, it sounds like a dangerously abusive relationship. I'm sorry, I don't even mean, like,
and that's
why are
the
we
problem.
Like,
that's the problem. The people who have read that book and hold that book dear to their hearts think that that's what BDSM is about, and it is not anything. And I don't know much about it. I have friends in the community called by the things that go on in that book.
I am a part of the community. And I honestly didn't even get to the BDSM aspect of it because of the fact that the writing aspect of it was so incredibly bad.
Yeah, see, I can't read it. I cannot read that book because, like, I've seen little snippets of it, and I'm like, oh, my God, that sentence isn't even – oh, is that English?
Like, the best ever is the video with gay guys reading out of 50 Shades.
Oh, God, that
Shades.
Was so,
like,
funny.
That was the best thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, ew, do you do that?
Just so you know, she refused an editor. Like, what author is so ballsy that they think they don't need an editor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want
that
to
right
say
there,
the
that was enough
thing
for me.
To come out of, the best thing to come out of the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon is the trailer that is redone by Ellen DeGeneres where she does the lead female role in it.
He completely nailed it.
Hilarious. Best thing on the internet.
Well, and I won't even lie.
The Tomlin lip syncing to Taylor Swift was pretty funny too. I'm just saying.
The what?
The link I posted on my wall today of the cop lip syncing to Taylor Swift to Shake It Off. That shit was epic. Okay, I laughed for 2 hours.
I'm gonna have to check that one out.
He was getting down to it and flicking his wrist and dancing and, I mean, moving it. And every time somebody passed him, he'd get all straight-faced and pretend like he wasn't doing it and then get right back into it as soon as they drop off.
Wow.
Loved it.
So, Amanda, ask your question.
Okay.
Your signature question.
My turn.
Uh-oh.
Right? Uh-oh. Talking about sex scenes and fluttering holes, what are some of the absolute worst words used in a sex scene that you've seen before? His hard member. Anything with member in it is a total turn off for me. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about his pulsing member or his throbbing love muscle or none of that shit. That is bad. Bad. It's a cock.
All right.
I'm not a girly parts person, period, but I still think that the worst that I ever saw, and it was one of the very few MS that I've ever read, but first of all, the author was using cunt to describe the lady part, and I was like, is that the equivalent in these books of this? And all my friends were like, no. But this one lady, she kept calling it a honeyed cunt, and I was like,
I wish I could see his face when he said that. I swear to God, we're going to have FaceTime later, and I want you to say that to me.
Okay.
I'm confused. I'm not going to sleep tonight until I see this.
Take a screenshot and post it.
Yeah, can you just, can you make a little video of you saying that and post it?
Put it on Facebook.
Right.
My brain just blew up a little bit, okay?
What? You could make an epic freaking thing for your blog, Kate, if you just found, the worst sex scenes and took, keywords out of it and just said them in front of a camera, like a two-second clip, and post it on your blog every week. And it would be nuts.
Just to watch me,
I see this ending very badly. This will end very badly. People will die of laughter.
Well, I can already see myself getting in trouble, though, because I'll read the one person sex scene that finds it, offensive that I do it. And, I get in trouble all on my own without doing this, okay?
Don't read the whole sex scene, just the one bad word, or the bad two words together.
And just gag.
All right, if you want, I can send you, I can email you or text you a word, and you can say it on the air. Or on your blog or whatever.
Just start the video before I even open your email so that they get the full weight of my response. I see the word pop up and I'm just my good time.
Okay. How many drinks have you had tonight? I got something for you.
Is it a honeyed cunt?
Oh no, God,
Jesus!
Crash and burn.
I'm sorry. I hate it when they call it a shoot.
I'm like, dude,
because that's too close to the old poop shoot thing. Just stop it. I think that's my one of my hard limits. Shoot, and I'm with you. Throbbing turgid members. Oh.
See, whenever I hear turgid, I automatically think of 10 Things I Hate About You. And
there's
the guidance counselor sitting there writing a porno novel, basically. And she uses, that's what I think of when I think of turgid.
God, I love that movie.
I do too.
Right, and I always feel like I'm Allison Janney. This is my job.
So we have Allison Janney and Julia Sugarbaker working together. Okay.
Jesus.
That couldn't get better.
That actually explains a lot, doesn't it?
Quite. It's kind of scary, really.
And we're going to be stuck in a car for 12 hours together.
Jesus Christ.
We need to make sure we can record some of this.
Yeah. We might need to do a on the road special edition of Right on the Edge.
Right, we could totally do a and we can do a vlog.
You need to catch us at 3 in the morning after we've been in the car for 7 hours and we've gone completely stupid.
Oh fuck no! fuck no! Because generally we rate Right on the Edges at rated R. That would be a triple fucking XXXXX. Don't ever show this. This is the secret secret edition.
No, we can't even post this.
Yeah. That's too edgy even for us. Congratulations. All right, Amanda, you're up.
Oh, I'm still laughing over here. Okay. So, go back and describe the very first time you wrote a sex scene. Not necessarily like the one you wrote together, like your first scene that you wrote.
Actually, okay, like, I'll be honest. I was a teenager I was still like the ringer, or like AOL, like, welcome, you got mail, you know, like, and so, yeah, so that was, it took 45 minutes to download a 2-minute porn clip. So,
yep.
You know, like, back
I remember
like,
those days.
So my
yes,
first,
I remember
like,
those days.
My first experiences were with, like, the Nifty Archive. Because, you know, it's easier just to read, like, the smutty, like, erotica on Nifty than it was to just try to fuck with a porn. Because you'd read that, and, like, and you, back in the day when people actually still looked at pictures of porn instead of actually porn. then I started writing. I wrote, I wrote nothing, but I actually have an alter ego that still writes on there when I need, like, to just be dirty. And so I've got like 100 stories, and I started when I was 15.
I'm sorry. I'm going to need you to send
that alter ego in the conversation to me so we can look it up.
Wow.
Some of that shit is rank. I won't even play.
So. I think I'm okay with that. I'm checking. Yeah, my penis agrees. It's okay with that. Yeah.
He says, let's see the dirty McDirty. even then, I think that's what really, like, naturally, like, because I kept wanting to give them happy endings. Like, I kept wanting to write an actual, like, rounded story. And because there was one that it had, like, 20 parts, and it had, like, a beginning, and, like, the couple, like, the characters, it was a couple, and they ended up, like, all the way, like, through high school and blah, blah, blah. And then I discovered MM in, like, 07, 08. Because I found an Alex Beecroft book just chilling on the shelf at a Barnes & Noble. And so that was just like, oh, yeah, that's totally how I got started. I started writing smut through the Nifty Archive.
Cade, we need to have a conversation after this conversation because, yeah, just saying.
Just saying.
Allison, what about you?
My story is nowhere near as interesting as that. Mine was another sexual vampire human.
I mean, I don't think most porn stars' stories are that interesting. But continue.
It was, like I said, it was a heterosexual vampire guy,
ew.
Human girl. Shut the fuck up, okay? Get off of me and my heterosexuality. Shit. Anyway. Don't you do
we
that?
We love
to
our
me.
Breeders. Come on now.
Yes, we do. Got to give them props.
Yeah, anyway.
Uh huh.
So,
you're the ones that produce more gay children.
Right.
Yeah, I'm done.
Allison, I saw that all over your face. I saw it. I didn't even need to see it. Just see it.
Bite me. Fight me.
See, and she says she's not Julia Sugarbaker. Please, bitch, what? So, all right. Allison is kind of putting herself on a self-imposed little whatever vacation. We'll call it a vacation right now.
A vacation.
Okay,
Kate,
so
what's up with you? What are you working on next?
I actually have another book coming out Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Chance of the Heart. It's actually the first time I've written, like, which everybody finds so funny because some of my first MMs were all cowboys. I love cowboys. So it's my first time with a cowboy main character.
And yeah, and I'm pretty excited about that. It's actually
what the hell?
Was that a drum roll for Kate?
Hang on. Y'all are, my car just took over my phone. Hang on 1 second. Let me get you off speaker.
What in hell?
I think her car is possibly eating the phone.
I think so.
My car has Bluetooth and it took over the phone. And my husband is loading up his gear in the car because his band practice is over and it's time to go home.
Oh, okay. Hi, Joe.
What's he didn't hear you. He's outside. Oh. He's outside. He's talking. He's talking to his drummer right now, who we've nicknamed Sweet Benny.
Huh.
So the book I wrote with Tracy Beast, one of the characters in it is Benny. And when we got our first audiobook copy of it, we were listening to it at the band room, and they call themselves closet heterosexuals. They're the gayest straight band in Memphis. So.
The gayest straight band.
Yeah, they're closet heterosexuals.
Okay. See, and what's funny is they always say that it's us gays that are, like, trying to, like, entrap the straights. I think it's the other way around.
They're all very comfortable in their sexuality. So much so that
they
grab each other's cocks all the time, so, you know.
That's totally hetero.
No homo.
Anyway, Kate was talking about Chance of the Heart. Can we get back to that? my husband's band is not dominating my radio show, damn it. No, I'm just kidding.
They're free plug. Oh, I should not say plug on this show. No.
No, you shouldn't say plug on this show. You're going to get him all excited.
Oh, Jesus.
He already wants. Yeah, I was going to say, he's already all tweaked out about your nifty thing.
Let me tell you, okay? My obsession with Cade is not unhealthy, but were he to come to me and say, hey, I just need to blow off some steam, I'd be like, okay. And I'm not a random sex person, but I would totally do that.
That wasn't a proposition at all.
My, what a huge talent you have, Cade.
Wow.
I'll have to put that in the book. Oh, my.
Cade, tell us about your book that's coming out on Monday.
It's Chance of the Heart. He's, okay, so it is a... He's not closeted. He's just one of those guys who comes from, like, a small town. Like, so it's, I didn't want it to be, like, so it's more low angst, but, like, the guy is, he's been with this girl since he was 15. He's now 23. She went to college. He didn't leave for college. He stayed, like, he went to, like, a community college. Like, so there was, like, he never had anyone that he knew was gay around him, so there was never any reason to, like, even question it. So, like, I'm fascinated by the fact that you could have lived in this bubble where you were that naive and not, you know, like, and then he runs into it starts with his high school sweetheart. It's her last semester in college before she comes back. And she's like, when I move back, real life is going to catch up to us. And, you've been here and I can tell that you're restless. So why don't we take, like, a break and we'll call it, like, free pass time. So you've got, like, you've got a free pass to, like, sow some wild oats or something. What could it hurt? Well, for some reason, he ends up, like, it's like a moth to a flame. He ends up, there's a gay bar that he's seen a million times, and he ends up just kind of wandering in because he feels, like, so uncertain. And, like, yeah, so he ends up running into a guy that he knew forever ago, and they hook up. And then, like, it was supposed to be a one and done, and then the guy shows up. Turn off your blinker, child. Good Lord. But, it's supposed to be one and done, but then the guy, Bradley, he ends up getting laid off his job, so he comes back to work for his dad. Like, his dad's, like, a preacher of, like, because this is set in Texas. His dad is a mega church pastor. But, like, there's really absolutely, like, there's, like, zero religion in this one, though. Like, I didn't, like, because someone asked, they were like, does it have a lot of organ? I was like, actually, like, you know, like, there's mentions of God, but there's never, like, any, like, they never are in the church other than business-wise. So, yeah, It's actually the first time that I've self-published a full novel. Usually I just self-publish novellas and I give to publishers, like Dream Spinner. But so this one, it's a good old 65,000 words. Like, good to go. I'm stoked.
Very nice.
So I
well, but and there's spanking. There is spanking, I will say.
We are coming down to the last few minutes here, so I'm going to let Amanda do one last question, and then I want both of you to let everybody know where they can find you. So, Amanda,
okay.
Last question.
Why did you put me on the spot? I wasn't ready. No. Okay.
You're always ready. Come on.
I am always ready, but this is another discussion for another day.
we at the hour is almost up, honey.
We got okay. The plugs ready.
If you had to pick one of your books to be produced in, like, TV or movie or whatever, pick one.
All right.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, go.
it would either be Patient Privilege or We Found Love.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on that one. Patient Privilege was fabulous.
That's actually how he and I met.
I was gushing on Patient Privilege. She had done a panel, and I walked up and I was like, oh my God, you're Allison Quezada, you wrote Patient Privilege. She signed a copy for me. I actually wrote the foreword in the version that's been re-released for Dream Spinner. Yeah. But,
I hugged him immensely. I was like, oh my God, you read my book. I love you. Come here.
I would say for me, it would definitely, I would say We Found Love, or maybe Don't Trust the Cut, Trouble in the Wallflower. It's so hard. Trouble in the Wallflower would be fun just because it'd be really, I'd love to see who they cast for those guys because they were so cute.
I think that one would be cute. I think that one would be a very cute movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, fangirl. I'm going to have to agree with that one, too.
But, I mean, I just think it'd be awesome to see who, like, they would cast as Gavin. Because, like, yeah, that he could be hot. Can I be involved in casting? We need a couch.
All right. So each of you get 30 seconds to tell people where they can find you. Allison, go first.
I'm easy. It's www.allisonquezada.com. Everything you want to know about me is there. Every link to every social network, everything there.
Awesome.
I have cadeboehm.com. I've got, you know, like, and it pretty much has everything. Like, I don't know why I've got so many sites. I'm on Facebook all the time. It's facebook.com/CadeAdam. I mean, like, so.
And Twitter.
Like, yeah, and Twitter, Cade Raid in your face. Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Awesome. Well, thank both of you and Amanda so much for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Can I tell you something real quick? This is straight from me to you.
Sure.
I actually am working on something.
You better.
Yay!
Anyways, want to find information about buying their book, We Found Love, you can find a buy link on our website, which is www.writersonlinenetwork.com. You can find a buy link on the episode page, this episode page for this show. And believe me, if you have not read this book, this is one of those must-have, so good, oh my gosh, buy the book. Okay, just do it. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Amanda,
thank
for
you.
Being on Right on the Edge
You're
tonight.
Welcome.
Thank you to everybody out there listening. I hope you guys have a lot of fun. I know that we had a lot of fun on this end. And we'll see you guys next Thursday at our usual time, which is 10 p.m. Central, which is my normal time. So love you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to everybody next week.